All right. Back at it. Before we get started, let's open in a word of silent prayer, and then we'll get going. Let's pray. Dear Father, we are thankful for your word. We're grateful for everything that you do in our lives. We just ask that you can continue to guide us and show us the path that only you can light up. And just pray that we can actually apply the word and to see its results in our lives. We thank you for the fact that it works, and we thank you for giving us an opportunity to take a part in it. We thank you, and we ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So we were in Romans 13:12. Remember, we're talking about the light and walking in the light versus walking in the darkness. And I think this verse kind of brought out the fact that, well, first of all, the day is near, referring to the urgency in which we are under, the time restraint that we have. Time's a ticking. In other words, your salvation is closer now. And I mean that in the sense that you're already saved, but I'm saying the fact that your death and departure is closer now than it was when you became a believer. So, and then the lay aside and put on is that big contrast in our life that I think we grow into and we understand more, and the identification of laying what to lay aside. And that's that what to throw away, what to see in your life and recognize, and then to make the decision, the free will decision to lay aside the deeds of darkness. Believe it or not, you're very capable, even as a believer, to be associated or involved in these kind of things. And this verse particularly is speaking to believers. So we need to keep in mind that we do still need to continue to lay aside anything that we recognize and throw it away. And then put on the armor of light. That was the contrast there. And I told you the context here was sin. That should be obvious, right? The contest of laying aside and putting on is whatever sin is, I guess you could say, bogging us down. Or is, because when I think of fellowship, I think of something that we're associating with to the point of having an effect on our mental and spiritual capacities. And definitely fellowship with these kinds of things can do that to us, with these kinds of people. So doesn't mean you can't talk to them or you can't be around them, but it's just a thinking process. I don't want anybody to leave here and say, well, he said I couldn't talk to so-and-so anymore, or I couldn't associate with so-and-so. No, this is a thinking process. And you, believe it or not, you can stay in fellowship during this process, even though you are maybe associated with someone that's not. So, and I wanted to skip down to verse 14. And I have it right here. And so verse 13 talks about sin. And then verse 14 says, but, there's your contrast, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's our word again, a second time, put on. And we see that Christ is directly associated or related to the armor of light. And we know that walking in the light is as well. Light is kind of like Christ's realm. Christ is called the light, or the word, his truth is called the light. Anything in the righteous category, we could say is light. And here we're talking about putting on Christ. And then it says, or in the armor of light, and then it says, and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. So let's take a look at what this put on means. It's an interesting word. It literally means to clothe oneself like a garment. It's kind of an interesting thought, to clothe oneself like a garment, because when you think about clothes, they have a purpose. They protect us. They have safety purposes, sanitation. Most of us, they save us from a lot of embarrassment. Actually, when I thought about this, I thought about the navy dungarees. You know, those things actually had to have a purpose before they were a fashion trend, and they can actually save your life. Those things are belled like that, so you can be in the water and actually take them off around your boots while you're in the water, and then you can take the ends of those jeans and tie a knot in them and fill those things up with water, and that becomes two flotation devices. Those legs become two, and they can keep you, save your life. But guess what? They did away with those. So all the good things seems to go away. But I'm sure they had a good collective reason for that, as always, right? So just like the Word of God protects you from the elements of evil, I think it's the same concept here. We clothe ourselves with Christ because we have that protection from the outside world, and it also preserves us. It preserves our life as well. So I think that's the analogy here. And then it says, and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. The word for no provision here means to make no thoughtful planning for providence, or don't be concerned with or entertain the temptations that we may have. There's a difference between having temptation and succumbing to it. That's actually a process. There's a thought, there's a desire, there's a will that goes along with that. And that's why it says make no provision, because you can entertain and you can think about, you can plan for, and you can be concerned with something without necessarily falling for it. So this is telling us a step before that. It's saying don't get to the point where you do fall for it. Don't entertain it in such a way where it allows you to stumble. Make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. So the actual things that are built into us from birth, our sin natures, have things called lust patterns. And we have to learn through the Word of God and how to deal with that. And this is one of those categories that tell us how to nip it in the bud. And that is, do not entertain or plan for or be concerned with. In other words, don't give the lust of the flesh the time of the day that it wants. Because it's going to want your time. It's going to want your brain power. It's going to want your focus. It's going to want everything that detracts you from that path that we are to stay on. And so I think that takes us back to Ephesians 5:11. And here we see, again, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but have a lot of contrast in the Scripture. But instead, and then it says, expose them. Expose them. Now, here's the second command in this verse, the imperative mood. You see that's the little IMP there. Present, active, imperative. This is a command. It means to expose the unfruitful evil deeds. The word itself, you can see, means to scrutinize or examine carefully, to bring to light, to expose, to bring a person to the point of recognizing wrongdoing, to convict, or even to convince someone of something, or to point out to someone. So Satan is in the business of deceiving, covering up. And notice that the light is doing just the opposite. It's doing exactly the opposite of what Satan desires and his mission is to do, to deceive and cover and move in darkness. So expose. Exposing Satan's ways for what they really are, which are false. If he can get out of that, well, he's got it, right? But the light actually does expose. It exposes. The word can also mean to demonstrate or to prove. Now that kind of rings our last word. Has the same kind of meaning in a way. But we aren't demonstrating darkness here, unfruitful deeds of darkness. What the light does is it demonstrates their falseness. It demonstrates the fact that they are what they really are, which is not true, not working, not powerful, and temporary. But they'll tell you just the opposite, as we all know, that they do work, they are permanent, and they are lasting, and you will get satisfaction from them if you just keep doing them. That's what they'll tell you. Oh, well, maybe that one wasn't, you know. Wait for the next time it comes around. So, and this is what people need to know about instead of being deceived. We can bring these things to light for what they really are. So, and it's the same way as walking in the light, because you demonstrate that as a believer. You walk in the light, and that's your demonstration or the proof that the word works. Well, this verse is saying what the light also does. It brings to light these things by you practicing just the opposite. Remember, there's a place to be in fellowship in either one of these areas. And if we can practice the light, you can also prove the darkness is false. That just comes with the territory, is what we're talking about when we talk about exposing. This isn't necessarily going to anyone and calling them out. The light has a characteristic that is in your soul, in your thinking, in your lifestyle, that exposes. And it allows you to see certain things that someone that can't see, that's in the darkness, that is deceived, it allows you to interpret and see these things, and that's the exposure. And the exposure doesn't necessarily happen by you saying something. It happens by your thinking and your lifestyle. Your thinking and your lifestyle. Now, I'm not saying that we don't ever mention these things. I think there's a time and a place for that. But I think this word expose here is focused on the light. The light in your soul. Your life. How you walk. How you handle yourself. And when, as you well know, when you get up out of bed, when you have a light, you can see the things that are in your way that are going to trip you up. And there's no difference here. The scripture, what's in your soul, allows you to see firsthand what is going to trip you up before it trips you up. Because even though we're not smart enough to understand and see Satan's ways, his darkness, and how he operates, God is. And when we're walking in such a way, in the light, God will allow you to discern these things. So we're talking, this word can also mean to demonstrate or to prove. So we prove, or we demonstrated walking in the light, and that, what does that do? It opens up your spiritual eyes. You're able to see the inabilities of the unfruitful deeds or the dead works, and that they don't work. So, and you can prove that from your own, I think, from your own personal experience of following God's commands and then seeing the results. Now, that isn't a necessity. That isn't something that has to happen, but I think we all have that ability. We can actually see what the Word of God has done. We can see certain things in our life that has happened, and we've seen and we've made decisions based on the Word, and we've seen the result after that. And we can see that from recognizing the false, recognizing whatever path that you went in the other direction, that it proved to be false because you saw the result of not taking that path. And all of us, by the way, as I mentioned earlier, have associated and participated with these unfruitful deeds. But that's the light of Jesus Christ. His mind, his word allowed you to see. It allowed you to see. And so spiritual sight is coming into play now as we all grow. We're starting to see better and better. And I think the Word of God does that for us. It gives you sight. It gives you abilities and insight through God's perspective that is enlightening. It's encouraging. It doesn't detract. It's not negative. And you can use that to your advantage or to someone else's advantage that may be in your life that needs the advantage. And so the light has so many benefits and purposes that we can use. And what it does is, of course, it exposes one of the things. And that's one of the things that he offers, is that authenticity of his word. And it exposes the dead works and evil deeds. And the contrast is obvious here, because remember how Romans 12:2 described them? It said, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." And then what's the alternative? Well, that which appears good. That's that which appears acceptable, that which even appears perfect, but it's not. And that's the part that we always can't follow or track or understand or discern on our own without the light. Because they're so close, just like the fishing lure example that I gave you, it's meant to mimic and to portray the exact replica of what it's doing. So the fish thinks it's real. And Satan does the exact same thing. And he wants you to bite. But the light is what allows us to see the truth of the matter. To see the truth of the false. And that's why I think the continuous transformation has to happen of your mind. In the Word of God. Because that's the only way we can be able to discern Satan's ways. The only way. And that's the only way you can live in the light and prove what the will of God is, or expose that Satan's system does not work. That's what you do as a believer. Whether you make an effort or a focus on that is not the point. The point is, if you're living in the light, you're exposing the false. Because you're a proof. Your life is proof that this is what works. And this is what doesn't work. So, Ephesians 5:12, it says, "For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret." So we're still talking about the evil deeds of darkness. And I think this verse is not necessarily pointing out the fact about talking about these things. It's pointing out the nature of the things being done by those who are producing these deeds. It's going down to the nuts and bolts and saying this is what they really are, and this is how they are under the surface. And the words here you see: disgraceful, shameful. The words to describe, this is a term, especially the term shameful here, or disgraceful, is a term especially significant in honor shame oriented societies. How about the Christian way of life? There's either honor or there's shame when it comes to what we do and who we glorify and who we do it for and why we're doing what we're doing. There's motivation behind everything, but there's always a connection to be made between honor and shame. It's how we're doing what we're doing. It's not what we do. You know, there's a distinction between the person that does good deeds that's an unbeliever and the person that's a believer walking in Christ and in the Holy Spirit that's doing the exact same deed. There's a difference. There has to be a difference. It's motivation. It's this shameful versus honor. It's glorification of God versus glorification of self. Big, big difference, black and white difference. And this is why it's pointing out, because they're shameful to even speak of these things. Because when you're rooted and your life is based on deception, whether you know it or not, I'm not talking about even knowing it, whether they know it or not, when you spend that much time in something that's unfruitful and you find out the reality of that, it's a disgrace. It's a shame, is what it is. This word generally, in reference to that which fails to meet an expected moral or cultural standard. Well, in our context, that which is shameful is failing to meet God's standards. Pretty easy to see that. And I think the conjunction here, even, you see it in the verse, I think it's meant to emphasize the degree of disgrace. And you can kind of hear that in the verse. For it is disgraceful or shameful to even speak of the things. To even speak of them. That's why the word shameful is the subject of the sentence. It's in the nominative case. That just means the subject. But guess what the subject points to? The direct object. So we've got to see what it's pointing to, right? The direct object of the sentence is that which is shameful, the things which are done by them in secret. That's what we're pointing to here. So why are these things so shameful? Well, and I mentioned it, but it goes back to motivation. The motivation can't be made known because it totally, completely changes a lifestyle. It completely changes how we operate and how we do things and who we're doing them for. And, you know, as I'm speaking about these things, as believers, we are capable of doing just these things. And you may get involved in these things, and I may get involved in these things, because we can easily get out of fellowship and do a good deed and have the wrong motivation. But the idea behind this verse is, this is talking about a lifestyle. But we can still apply it to each individual person, wherever you are in your spiritual growth, right? So, and can you explain to someone that their deeds are unfruitful? I don't think so. I think that's the whole point of the light. That's the light's job. The light is what exposes. I don't think you can explain it, at least on your own. The light is much more powerful and fully capable to properly expose the shamefulness that we can never be able to do. Only the light can do that. And you know, there's a part of this that reminded me of just our general growth process of believers in Jesus Christ. You know, the Word exposes things to us. It brings things to light in our thinking, in our lives, and we think, oh, whoa, yeah, I need to correct that. That's what the Word of God does. And sometimes there is a little shame involved in that because we know who we are as sinful people, right? And when we come to that understanding, okay, that's an area I need to work on. But it's light. That's another aspect of the light, is if we continually to stay in the light, we continually to be fed this information that can see things differently in your lives to make corrections to stay on track. So a good verse that we should look at is John 3:19. Let me read it. It says, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, Jesus Christ. And men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for the fear that his deeds will be exposed. Now there's our word, exposed. Isn't that interesting? There are those that are living in such a way that they are so deceived that they go a step farther than just being negative to the word. They steer clear from it because of it possibly pointing out or exposing their false ways. This is going not just, no, I don't, this is running the other direction. So, pretty bad. Whereas you have just the opposite. You have the truth and you want more truth. You see the light, you see the reality of God's word, and we want more of that. There became a time in your life where you did a flip-flop. You had enough of the false. We saw what didn't work. We saw the path we were going down, and we wanted truth. And all of a sudden, I see that works. I prove that that works, and I know it's true. And guess what? You continue the process. And not only are you not running the opposite direction, you're running with. You're positive now. You're going in the upward flow, and you're growing now. And that's why I think it has that drawing effect to the truth, because the more we see, the more we want. The more we learn, the more we understand. Like, okay, give me more of this stuff. This is the Word. The world doesn't see things the way the Word does. But there are believers in this world that can do this. Collectively, as a whole, as the body of Christ, we have this capability. So it's just the opposite. Not running, but seeking, desiring. We desire exposure in our own lives. We desire that exposure. Instead of running, I desire to see where I need correction, where I need to make changes, and what I need to do to apply a certain word in my life to pass a certain test that God has placed in my life. That's a desire. That's being a positive believer. That's just what the truth does, because it does work. It does work. So you can see that only by following the Word of God can, well, first of all, remember, you're going in that right direction. And you have that desire for that consistent exposure, and that's that transformation process, remember, of seeing, realizing, and applying. God points our errors out very well to us, and then He corrects them. But only by following the Word of God can we have certainty. Can we have confidence about how we operate in this life. Now, in this context, we're referring to confidence about your deeds. So you can see where the shame comes from being exposed. What is there to be shameful about if you're doing things in such a way that is glorifying to God, that's pleasing to God, that He made the rules to and we just want to be obedient to? We just want to follow them, is what our desire is. And if that is exposed, so be it. And as we'll see later, they will be exposed. And they are exposed technically, but there will be a point in time where everything that we're that we do in this life will be exposed. So Revelations 3:19, I don't know if I It says, "Those whom I love, I reprove." That's interesting. There's that word expose. They use the word reprove there. And that's what the word does for us. It reproves us. It exposes what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us. "Those whom I love, I reprove," or expose, "and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him, and we'll dine with him, and he with me." This is a picture of fellowship. This is a picture of your volition of, well, first of all, it starts with God, of the reason of the reproof and the discipline, because it's rooted in love. It's rooted in the fact that He loves you, and we need the reproof, we need the discipline, we need the consistent exposure. That's why, be zealous and repent. That goes back to that confession between you and God. That's an internal, a personal thing that we have to continually do. And then we just saw, Or yeah, we just saw the command to expose these deeds in Ephesians 5:11. So that same word expose here is used in a couple different ways. I just wanted to show you that way. Reprove is also another definition of that. And then verse 21, it says, but he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested. See, you're not running because, you know, you're not trying to keep them a secret. Or you may think there's something wrong and you're not sure. That light may actually tell you something that you don't want to hear. How many times have you heard that? I don't want to do that because then I have to change this, this, and this, and this. I got to do all these things. Those are negative things in their mind. Those are negative, believe it or not. So they'll go in the opposite direction, but it's deception. See, they're deceived because they don't know the truth. The truth tells us otherwise, and it allows you to do what? To go in the direction of the truth. Manifested. It's a good word. It means made visible or made clear, so that his deeds may be made clear as having been accomplished in God. Well, and then I wanted to read, because there's a time when everything will be brought to the light and made very clear. Even if not now, then that will happen at the judgment seat of Christ. The same word manifest, or could mean to disclose, is found in 1 Corinthians 4:5. Oh, I didn't give you that verse. Well, let me read it. It says, therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things hidden in the darkness, and, here's our word, disclose or expose or manifest the motives of man's hearts, of men's hearts, and then each man's praise will come to him from God. Well, that says a lot. Now we're talking about a direct relationship to the praise of God and the motives of men's hearts. These are the kind of things that have to be exposed. They have to. Or they'll go unknown. Because you and I can't decipher these things a lot of times. If I take a good, what looks like a good growing Christian versus another good growing Christian, I have no way of telling whose deeds are done with the wrong motives. That's why they have to be exposed. I think the truth and the moral of the story is, who is accomplishing things in your life? Who is accomplishing them? Is it you in your own power seeking to live a good life and please God? Or is it God doing the accomplishing through you, through His power? That's what all this is really referring to. Is it us on our own flesh, or living as God designed it through His power, because He knew we were sinners, He knew we couldn't do it on our own, so He provided everything? That's grace. That's just the grace of God. And, you know, I can always hear Roy say, if you want a different kind of thinking, then you have to replace what you have with a different kind of thinking. And this is what we do. And what we have that available to us in the pages of Scripture. And since we are discussing shame and disgrace versus confidence in following God's Word, let's quickly look at 1 John 2:28. It says, now, little children. Guess what that means? That's believers. Believers in Jesus Christ. Abide in Him, so that when He appears, we may have, wow, there it is. That's what we've been talking about. Confidence. And not shrink away from Him in shame at His coming. So this verse is making a distinction. I just want you to notice a few things. This is referring to believers. Believers in Jesus Christ. There's two options for the believer. to be confident or to shrink away in shame. And there's a deciding factor as to whether you have confidence or whether you shrink away. And what does it say in the verse? Abide in Him. Abide in Him. That's the word minnow. That's a command there. And it means to remain or to stay. That's just a decision to live the spiritual life as designed by God and to remain there, to be consistent, to stay faithful, to see the path out, to see God's truth work in your life, to abide. So the definition here means of someone who does not leave a certain realm or sphere, to remain, to continue, to abide. Now, you should be thinking of what we should remain in as much as possible. Fellowship. You always hear of occupation with Christ. That's the remaining. That's the abiding. That's the staying with in a sphere, as the word is described. You should be thinking of fellowship. We live in and by His Word. And the result is that what? You have confidence. You have confidence. So, I think that's a good place to stop. So let's pray. Dear Father, we are thankful, grateful, that Your Word always exposes things to us that we can never find or see on our own. We thank You for the grace that You provide. Thank You for the ears to hear Your Word, the positive, perceptive believers that desire to just continue to persevere in Your Word and just to see it work in their lives. We thank You for all these things. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.